Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books. And you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is April, the psychic housewife in New Jersey, featured on the travel channels, The Holes of Files. I just wanted to wish my very dear friend, Sophia Temporelli, a very happy 11-year anniversary right here on Live Paranormal. Congratulations, Sophia. I love you, and I'm so proud of you.
That's right. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com and now on ghosthunting.com. And unfortunately, we have to retire that last audio bite because next week is going to be starting 12 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com. So congratulations, Sophia. You've helped a lot of people through the years. Fantastic job with this show. And feel free to call in 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And feel free as well to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. I'll be posting our guest link into chat room as well as the phone number for the show and everything too as well. As today, we welcome back medium PGR paranormal investigator and author Paul G. Rogers. We'll be discussing his latest book release, When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, The Next Chapter. Everyone visit pgrparanormal.com. Personal readings from Paul, 626-483-1967. and Paul Rogers at pgrparanormal.com is where you can directly reach Paul, and as well Twitter at Paul G. Rogers. He said he's having a little problem with his Twitter recently, but we'll see if that's fixed with him. Televised psychic investigator Jennifer Schaefer will be on the program on the 24th of this month, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have other guests that are booking too as well. Next Saturday, we have psychic Stephanie Ann Stevens will be on the program. We just confirmed as well. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. And also like liveparanormal.com, the Facebook group page, membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sirik, the site founder here, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of, you know, they start as little as $2.99 a month, and so a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors and DVDs and things as well. Great giveaways here. Tonight on Light Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, Kindred Spirits. He's monthly on Monday nights here on Light Paranormal, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this network. And also, if you miss anything, the archive shows are available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of Live Paranormal. Let's bring on our host here, Sophia. Congratulations, 11 years of broadcasting, about to leap into 12 years.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been almost 12 years.
I know you're doing a fantastic job. As I said, you've helped a lot of people through the years with your show, and mom and dad couldn't be prouder. And Sophia, you got all these things. You got the Twitter, the Instagram, all these places. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name's too long. So that's super cool.
Yeah, we cursed you with a long name. So just Temporelli, with just drop one of the L's in there and you can find Sophia. Tell us about your guest.
Today we welcome back medium, PGR paranormal investigator, and author Paul G. Rogers. We will be discussing his latest book release, When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, the next chapter. Everyone visit pgrparanormal.com. Personal readings, call 626-483-1967. Paul Rogers at pgrparanormal.com. Twitter, Paul G. Rogers. Let's welcome him into the show.
All right, Paul, how's the Twitter doing now? Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming back on. And congratulations on When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, the next chapter.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And no, my Twitter account is still, I guess I'm in jail.
Yeah,
what they say,
okay.
Isn't it?
But your Facebook's good, so.
Yeah, that's still good.
Well, I mean, you have some amazing abilities. You've written some amazing books, but kind of take us back to where it all started. How did you discover you had these abilities? Was it an experience you had, or did you just kind of start picking stuff up and go from there?
No, what happened was that in 2003, I was diagnosed with arteriosclerosis, and I had partial blockage in my heart arteries, so I had to go in and have a triple bypass. Done with that, about 8 months later, I had an awakening, is what I like to call it, in my house where I was living, and I felt a presence in front of me up in my bedroom, and I started hearing a voice saying, "I'm an angel from God, and I'm here to give you a message. You're going to start opening up as a medium. We'll send you some people to teach you. And so get ready for this. This is something that you wanted." And it was so strange and just so weird to hear a voice inside my head, which I've never heard before. I wasn't really sure I'd believe it. But then things slowly started coming up, and I started seeing things and hearing things. And then I met Peter James on the Queen Mary, and he took me under his wing, and he was my total mentor. Today, I still use his methods.
Well, that's an amazing way to, you know, develop your abilities and kind of have that, you know, bestowed upon you. Before you had all of that occur, did you have an interest in the paranormal, or was that not really a topic you ever considered?
Oh, yeah, I was interested in the paranormal. Always have been. Mm-hmm. Even my parents were very interested in it, too. That's how I got into it. And just from there, you know, I used to read books and watch TV shows, and I was always very interested in it. But
absolutely.
I never thought I'd be waking up and be able to see and speak to, you know, ghosts and spirits.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I lived in a haunted house, so I saw the ghost there. It's definitely not something you expect, even when you're in the paranormal, to kind of experience it on a more day-to-day basis than, you know, just going to a haunted location.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and everywhere I go, I see ghosts. Everywhere.
So I know you say that you're a medium. Do you also have psychic abilities along with that? Are you able to kind of read people? Or is it mainly just, you know, talking to people's loved ones that have passed?
Yeah, I'm just a straight medium. I'm not a psychic. I do not tell the future or anything. I connect you with your relatives or friends that have crossed over. I can also tell you who your spirit guide is and maybe connect with them. And, excuse me. And the last thing I do is I remove ghosts from houses, buildings, anywhere, and I remove them permanently.
I
know,
mean,
that's really hard.
No, I mean, living in a haunted house, I know it's very hard to deal with. You know, what is your process when you're going about, you know, removing a spirit, but also, you know, dealing with individuals in distress like that?
Well, people will call me up and tell me what's going on, and I personally make the trip over to their residence. And I can feel all the negative entities that are inside of a house as soon as I walk
mm-hmm.
up. There's two types of ghosts I see. One I see is 6 feet tall, and he's dressed like the Grim Reaper. And I am, those are the real nasty ones. Those are the ones that will actually stick themselves onto you and go with you
mm-hmm.
wherever, anywhere. The other ones I see are about 3 feet tall, and they like to, they're little cowards. They hide up in the attics, in the in your cabinets, closets, other bedrooms, kitchen cabinets too. And at night they come out, as I like to say, they come out to play. And that's one thing I do in one of my processes. I start asking people how they're sleeping. Are they having really weird nightmares or strange dreams, insomnia, depression, all this stuff? That will lead me to the fact that the little ghosts are in the house and I need to get rid of them too. From there, I've gained 12 carry-on angels, which have been with me
mm-hmm.
since 2004. And I gave them all names because I'm terrible with names. So I had to give them names that I would remember. And what I do is when I walk into a house, I'll feel an entity, and then I just tell the angel, I call them out by name, and I say, okay, take that ghost and that ghost. Well, the angels only have two hands, so they'll grab two ghosts. They go through the light, through the tunnel, but they go into purgatory, and they drop these ghosts off. That's the small and the large ones. And once they're in purgatory, they can never leave, and they're judged. That's pretty much
how I do it. It's definitely very interesting, you know, to be able to experience that on that level of having ghosts. I know in my haunted house, the ghost was in a closet, very creepy. He was a pretty awful spirit. So, I mean, it's really interesting because even my mom said after that experience, you know, you see on a haunting and on these TV shows that they show ghosts in closets and stuff, and you think that can't be true because why are spirits just in closets or attics and stuff? But when you actually experience it, that is where they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I know you were, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Please go ahead with your question.
I was just going to say, I know you described the spirits, but when you're actually seeing them, are you seeing them as if, you know, you're seeing another person? Is it like a pictured image in your head? How do you actually see them?
Well, I see them two ways. I can see them, you know, in my head, and I'll get a picture of them. And then I describe the person to make sure that this is somebody that the family knows. If it's not, we get rid of them. The other way is that I look at, they'll appear in front of me. And they'll be like a slowly coming around, like maybe I'll see their head first and then the shoulders, and then it kind of keeps going down. Sometimes I only see spirits like from the belly button up. Sometimes I only see their head.
Can
you hear me?
It's just, yeah, no, I can hear you. I mean, okay. I'm just, you know, relaying it back to my own experiences in a haunted house, and it is, you know, amazing you have this. I know you said you got this after, you know, later in life, but you also said that your parents had an interest in the paranormal. Did you notice anyone else in your family having kind of similar gifts?
Yes, my mother. My mother, she was a, what do they call it, automatic rider.
Mm-hmm.
And she could see spirits and ghosts, and they would talk to her and all that stuff. That's,
do you do automatic writing?
No. No, I've tried. My hand doesn't move.
Yeah.
So I gave
that. I feel like
I gave it up.
Yeah. It feels like a very specific, you know, ability. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could. I feel like you have to have a certain calmness to do that. I'm an overthinker, so if I tried that, I don't think it would work. Yeah, certain things I feel like when it comes to abilities, you really have to be very zoned in.
Yes, yes. And that's why I've also wrote another book about meditation and how to control your psychic abilities. And you do it through meditation and discipline. It's a very small book. You can get it off my website. It's a very easy read. I've gone into the internet. I researched a bunch of ways to meditate. Of course, there's thousands of ways. And I just formed my own way of doing it that's worked for me and how to control my abilities. Because if not, I walk around like a bug light and I'm attracting everything and anything. When I shut down all my chakras, then the ghosts don't really seem to notice me and they go away. They don't feel my energy.
Mm-hmm. Would you say meditation is kind of the number one thing that helps in developing an ability? What is kind of the number one piece of advice you would give to someone wanting to develop their ability?
Exactly, meditation. Get my book and read it. It's very thorough. It'll tell you how to open up, how to close your energies, abilities, how you can improve on them or just shut them down permanently. I have a good friend of mine, and he's real psychic, about like me, and he says he can't stand it, so he always shuts it down. He never uses it at all.
Yeah, I mean, being able to see spirits on that level, I can imagine would be so overwhelming at any point. You know, I've talked to so many psychics through the years, and I know the number one thing they always want to learn as an individual is just how to kind of turn it off so you don't have that influx constantly.
Yes, absolutely. It's not, you know, 100% foolproof. You're still going to see some once in a while. Like the other couple weeks ago, I was sound asleep in my bed, and I woke up, and there was this woman's face about a foot away from mine, and she was a white female adult with bright red lipstick and had black hair that was pulled back into a ponytail. And all of a sudden, her face got really close to mine, and I jumped. And then she leaned back, and I saw her full body all of a sudden turn into like wispy smoke and then disappear.
Yeah, I mean, I know Peter also had similar experiences too. I believe I was pretty young when I met him, but he had an experience where he was just in a bathroom at a friend's house and he saw a spirit there. And I think most psychics aren't really trying to tune in right then. So as you say, sometimes spirits just flip through, because I don't think a bathroom is probably the number one place people try and channel.
Actually, that's where I find most of the big shadow ghosts. I find them in the shower because they are pure energy, and of course energy and electricity go together, and so they seem to get some kind of extra power out of it. Plus, there are certain types of ghosts I run into in different homes, you know, like murderers, rapists, alcoholics, drug addicts, and child molesters. They refuse to cross over because they're afraid of whatever. Purgatory, mm-hmm. God's wrath, whatever, the devil. And so I find them in showers all the time.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be creepy in life, that's probably expected that would be the number one place a creepy person would go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And people tell me, I don't go in a shower in there. That's too creepy. I'm not going in there.
Yeah,
that's why I cleaned it out
with
all my angels.
It's the worst. I mean, if you're living in a haunted house, the bathroom and the bedroom are like the two places you really don't want to deal with a ghost, but you're in a haunted house, so you cannot choose where they go.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Very true.
So, I mean, with this too, obviously, you know, you help people with residential cases. Do you also do, you know, non-residential cases as well? And if so, what are some of your experiences at those places?
Probably the most haunted one, haunted place I went to was a historical building down in the city of Whittier. It's an antique warehouse. And it's severely haunted. It still is. And when we were in there, walking around, taking pictures of orbs and stuff, we were about in the middle of the warehouse, probably a good 100 feet away from the entrance, and I heard a piano playing. And I pulled the owner over, and I go, can you hear that? And he says, yeah, there's a piano playing. He said, there's nobody by the front door. We're all here in this one spot. But there is a piano by the front door. So somebody was playing the piano there. It wasn't me. The other thing is I met a child there. The child goes, yeah, he's about 7, 8 years old. And he kept saying, oh, I love the toys here, the toys. Well, we kept walking around this huge antique warehouse, and there was just antiques. There was no toys or anything. But when we walked out to leave, attached to the warehouse was two storefronts, and one of the stores was a toy store.
Wow.
And the kid told me, he goes, I go in there and play with the toys all the time.
Yeah. I wonder what the employees think. You know, they have it all set up and they come back the next day and I'm sure there's some objects moved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Moved. They'll hear, they were hearing like females crying, yelling, gunshots, a host of other stuff. Yeah, feeling a really, really dark presence come right up to them and start pushing on them. It scares them. They refuse to go in certain parts of the warehouse. It goes on and on. Anybody wants to go down there, they'll let you in. It's always open. It's an antique warehouse.
Well, that's super cool you got to go there. And since it was an antiques warehouse, I know you said there's tons of activity. Do you think that that is due to some of the antiques that are in there or primarily due to the building and location itself?
Building and location itself. The building originally built back in like 1890s was a fruit packing warehouse. because all around there and out down to Orange County, as everyone knows, there was orange orchards and other types of fruit trees, and they would bring all the fruit up to this warehouse and they would, you know, clean them up and package them and whatever. Well, of course, they really didn't have really safety protocols in place for the employees. And some employees, they died there and they're still there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing just, you know, how something that seemed simple, like fruit packing, was so dangerous back then, and just the way that laws have changed and, you know, how many workers are still left behind in places that seem mundane.
Yeah, exactly. I've been into converted commercial buildings converted into like condominiums or apartments and stuff like that, and that the places are really, really haunted. It's just from ghosts that are hanging around because of the past, because of the land, or as ghosts do, a lot of them are lost. They don't know where to go, what to do, and they start wandering around. Next thing you know, they're popping into somebody's apartment or condo.
Mm-hmm. And to, you know, as I was mentioning earlier about the antiques location, whether it was the location versus the objects, have you ever dealt with a haunted object? And if so, you know, how do you go about kind of investigating and possibly even removing a spirit from an object?
Well, to be really, really honest with you, which is what I am.
Mm-hmm.
I've never come across any haunted furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture or pictures, clothes. The only thing I did come across once, and it's in my book, the next chapter, was a haunted car. And the car was so haunted, she got tired of looking at all the ghosts sitting in the back seat. She finally just sold it. Sold to some other poor schmuck.
What kind of car was it?
It was I think it was a Mustang, a black Mustang. She said it was her dream car. She loved it.
It feels like something, there's a haunted car, it just feels like it'd be a Mustang or something like that, like a Camaro or a Mustang.
Yeah, yeah. But then when she first picked up the car and she was driving home, she looks in the rearview mirror and she sees an old man sitting in the back seat. And she screamed and she almost drove into the right shoulder and hit other cars and stuff. And then, of course, when she stopped, she turned around.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
I wouldn't like it either.
But, you get your dream car and there's an old man in the back seat.
Yeah, yeah. And then sometimes she would see an old lady. And then sometimes she would see a kid. So I really couldn't figure out where the ghosts were coming from and why they were going inside of a car.
Yeah.
You know, because the car wasn't that old. So we never did figure it out. And she tried to hold on to it for another couple months. And she got tired of it and she sold it off.
What do you think about to... I know mostly when people do encounter a haunted object, it's like a doll or a mirror. Why do you think that would be?
I don't know about a mirror, but like dolls and toys, I think what gets attached to them, this is my opinion, is, of course, ghost children.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were used to playing with that particular toy and everything, so they hang around with it. Because it's familiar, and they enjoy it. They want to be around it. But that's the only reason I can think of you want to be around. I've heard lots of stories about... Oh, we have to take a break?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know I've heard a lot of stories about ghosts attaching themselves to a dresser drawer, a picture, and all this other stuff. But in all my experience, I got a lot of years, and I've been a lot of places. I just don't see why they want to hang around. Why they would hang around, you know, a big chunk of wood or a picture. They might be hanging around in the house because they either lived in the house or they enjoy the family that's there or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Not really a believer.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, an object, you know, they're kind of fleeting in life. So you would think you'd be more attached to, you know, a place you called home.
Yeah, attached to, you know, family, house, land. Southern California has a very, very, very violent history.
Definitely. Now we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yes, the Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, we welcome back medium, PGR paranormal investigator and author Paul G. Rogers. Everyone, his book is When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, The Next Chapter, and it's available on Amazon.com. Everyone visit, too, as well. You can purchase PGRParanormal.com. That's PGRParanormal.com. Personal readings with Paul, 626-483-1967. Paul G. Rogers at PGRParanormal.com. Twitter at Paul G. Rogers. As he mentioned, he's having a little problem with Twitter right now. So, yeah, definitely go to PGRParanormal.com right now, too, as well. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the Most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is psychic medium Erica Buterhaney, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Stay parafabulous.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave. Left out of the audio bites. So you just threw it in during the show. There. Okay, Sophia and Paul, you're back on.
Okay. Well, thank you again so much for coming on today.
You're welcome. I look forward to it.
So, I mean, I know you mentioned your book earlier. Again, congratulations on the release. But can you tell us more about When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, The Next Chapter?
I sure can. I realized that when I started working on an ambulance and becoming a paramedic and stuff, I realized that I was getting myself into a lot of situations where I could have been severely hurt or even shot or even beat up, but I kept getting out of these situations without a scratch. And I always felt that somebody or something on the other side has been watching me, making sure I don't get hurt. And that's partially what the book is about when I was a paramedic. And some of the things I went through working as a paramedic. Later on, after I was done and burned out as a paramedic, I went to work for the California Highway Patrol Communication Center, and that's when I had a... This stuff seemed to follow me around. I ended up running out to the Hollywood Freeway and saving a CHP officer's life after he'd been run over by a car. Once again, nothing happened to me in the middle of the freeway. Nobody ran me over, and we saved Lee, and he's doing very, very good. He's very well, and he's retired.
Well, that's amazing you were able to save his life. And great that, you were there to save him, and I'm sure he's very happily retired now too after an incident like that.
Yes. There's also other ghost stories in here. There's the one story about when I went over to the murder-suicide house. Did you have a chance to read the whole book?
Yes, I started reading it. I wasn't able to finish, but for the audience to let them know about it.
I will. It was 1 week after this incident happened out in Moreno Valley. I think it was Moreno Valley. What had happened is that the lady that was living there inside this house the year before had dated a gentleman. Well, it turned out he was very overpossessive and one of those stalker types. So she finally ended up breaking up with him, but he would keep driving by. He would park down the road to watch her. He would end up in the same grocery store as her and watching. And it kept going and going and going. And she got a restraining order to keep him away. She got floodlights in the front yard. The motion sensor ones to keep people away. And she talked to her neighbor saying, if you see him, call me right away. I'll call the cops and on and on. Well, what had happened is that she was in her house with a male friend of hers. And they're just sitting around talking. And this stalker came up. And she even had cameras outside too. And he walked up to the garage and stood there staring at it. Then he walked around to the right of the garage up to the front door. He stood there at the front door, started shooting through the door. Well, of course, my client and her friend, they go, whoa, and they both hit the ground. The stalker kicked in the door, walked in, and shot the male friend. And he went down. Then he went and stood over him and shot him again. Then he turned towards the woman, and she started running across the house, and he was shooting at her. She dove behind a couch, and he kept shooting, but he was shooting high, and she was lying flat. So he was shooting high, so he totally missed her. And then it got real quiet, and she kind of peeked over the couch, and the guy looked right at her, and I think he said, no, you don't get to get away from this. And he put the gun to his own head, and he pulled the trigger. That's what happened. And, I mean, it made the newspapers and everything. I went and looked it up, and I read the whole story. 1 week later, she called me up and said, he's still here in the house. You got to come and please get rid of him. He is just driving me nuts. He's getting into my dreams. I wake up in the middle of the night. He's in my bedroom. Things are being thrown. Things are missing. So when I went on down there, the poor thing, she was standing out front of her house, shaking so bad, trying to smoke. I told her, it'll be okay now. We'll take care of it. I walked up to it, her front door, and I saw the bullet holes. We walked in, and the house had already been cleaned up. The couch that he was shooting through was still there, and I saw the bullet holes that went through the couch. And I started cleaning out the house. There was a lot of other ghosts there. But apparently this stalker guy was playing with her. She had, you know, those hand-blown glass animal figures?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I used to buy them at Knott's Berry Farm. But she had one, and it was probably a good 4 inches high. Well, it kept being moved around the house by this guy. Well, one of her friends came over one day, and she said, please take this. It was in the shape of a dragon. She said, take this, take it home. I don't want to see it anymore. Well, she left. She lived like 10 minutes away. So she took the dragon and went home. The next day she got up, the dragon was back in her house on the counter.
Wow.
I said, okay, we're going to get rid of this. So I said, do you have a hammer? She goes, yeah. So she got me a hammer, and I took this dragon outside, and I pounded it in the dust. Then I went through the house again, and I found him. I found this guy. He was hiding in a bathroom in the shower, and he tried to come at me, and I think he was trying to hit me or something, but nothing ever happened. But he was yelling and screaming and cussing at me. I said, you're done here, and I had one of my angels grab him and haul him over to purgatory. After cleaning out her house, she never called me again with any problems. No ghost problems at all.
Wow.
Well, that's amazing you were able to help her. I mean, it is a great book as well, from the parts I've been able to read. So definitely everyone make sure to go pick it up. When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, the next chapter. And where can people find it?
On my website, egrparanormal.com. And if you look it under my name, it's Paul G. Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S. A lot of people put a D in there.
Yeah, and sorry, I'm the one that's taking the book now.
Yeah, you can go online.
You can go online and order any one of the books. The first book I wrote is about how I became a medium, how I got involved in it, all my time with Peter, and some ghost stories, and then a ghost story at the very end of my wife's and I own ghost story that happened to us at a place in Lake Arrowhead. It was a really good story. Okay, getting back to my paramedic days, there was a lot of times when I felt there was an angel standing over me. At the end of the book, I put in a story about me delivering a baby. And how we had a hard time trying to get it to breathe. And all the techniques I had to use to try to bring it back. Mm-hmm. But I'll leave it at that so you people can buy it and read it.
Absolutely. And it's a great book, and thank you for sending it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. There's also paramedic stories in there, which is really strange for a paramedic. I was shot at. We were threatened with death by gangbangers. People who had caused, were involved in fights that caused physical harm. And I got there to the patient, and the suspect is still standing there right over me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned an angel guide in your book named John. Is there something you pick up with Sophia, some type of angel or spirit guide for her?
Yeah, Sophia, you have an angel hanging around you. You got something coming up soon.
I do?
You got something coming up pretty soon you're going to get involved in. I'm not sure what it is, but it will make you a little extra busy for a little while.
Well, that would be good. I definitely, yeah, I need busy. That would be fun. But yeah, I mean, an angel is definitely something you want around you, especially in this line of work. So I'm glad to hear that.
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. And I'm so glad I got mine. It's like every day I'm crossing something over, even in my front yard.
When you got that for Sophia, was that a voice told you or somebody directly communicating that to you? How do you get impressions?
Oh, what I do is that I breathe out. And since I've been doing this for so many years, it's pretty much automatic to me. But I breathe out and relax my whole body, and then I concentrate on her. And then things just stop popping in my head. Like her spirit guide. You have a female spirit guide. Her name is Sylvia.
That's definitely interesting. Do you know anything about Sylvia?
Hold on a sec. Hey, Sophia, do you like the mountains?
I definitely like kind of nature like that. Like I love the rain and stuff, and so I think the mountains and stuff like that is really pretty.
It is. I love the mountains too. Three lives ago, that's where you met Sylvia. You two were friends living somewhere where there's a lot of mountains and forests and big trees and stuff. Somewhere in between Idaho and Montana. Let's see. Back in the 1700s. And when you have a spirit guide, it's somebody that you really trust and you really, really want them to be with you when you come back down on the earth so they can help you along in your life. You can talk to her anytime. She can hear you. I don't know if she'll answer. You never know.
Well, I definitely would wonder, since you did say that it's from a past life, obviously you've seen this before. When you see kind of someone from a past life and then their current life, is there much change in personality or are they very similar from their previous life to the current one?
Sometimes it is similar, but most of the time it's not.
Mm-hmm.
When people come back here, they want to change things. They want to experience different stuff, different illnesses, different lifestyles.
I can definitely say from the 1700s till now, I'm big on the experience of air conditioning. That's all I think when I hear the 1700s. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm surprised I ever survived in a time like that, even in a past life.
Well, don't feel bad. You've had 18 lives. I've had 80.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot more than, yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. 1700. Wow. I'm just like.
Oh, I've had 80.
That's a
I'm
lot.
Tired.
I would be tired after 18, but it is amazing that you're able to pick up on stuff like that. And spirit guides are someone you knew in a previous life. So I think that's really interesting. Especially since you can kind of navigate, are you able when you pick up something like that on someone to kind of know what happened to them that led to the end of that previous life?
Say that last part one more time.
So you said one of my previous lives was in the 1700s. When you pick up stuff
yes.
like that, are you able to find out, like, that person had, that life had ended due to, like, the plague or something like that?
Oh, you want to know how you died?
I'm mildly curious, yeah.
Believe it or not, people rarely ask me how they died. They just want to know how things were back then. But your spirit guide's telling me that you drowned in a lake.
God, I have like this fear of like ships, so I always like had a, I had like an idea that I drowned. I'm like a big thing where I do not like cruise ships or anything like that.
Water.
Like, I'm okay with water, but water you can't see the bottom of, like, where I drop something in there and can lose it forever. That kind of creeps me out. Like, knowing that there could be a shipwreck under you is, like, a little bit...
Yeah, she doesn't like those.
Yeah, those, like, give me the egg.
Exactly.
I'm not a big fan.
I totally understand.
So I was just kind of curious. I was like, I feel like I probably died in a shipwreck at some point.
Well, you may have.
So that's very interesting that you picked up on that. For people who, you know, want to get readings by you or just find out what you're doing next, where can people find you? Do you have any websites, upcoming interviews, or anything that you would like to mention?
I don't have anything coming up right now, but you can go into my website and keep it current. That's pgrparanormal.com. And please feel free, if you have questions or whatever, you can call me. I have my personal phone number in there. You can also text me and or email me. Or what's the other one they use nowadays? There's so many, you know.
Different Facebook
messaging. For sure.
Yeah, we've been writing. We've been corresponding
Facebook,
there.
Facebook, but don't go to Twitter. I'm not there. Oh, Messenger.
Right.
You can contact me through Messenger.
Yeah, there's lots of social medias. Honestly, I'm young and I don't even keep up with them all. I'm half confused most of the time. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Paul. It was great getting to talk to you, as always. And thank you for sending the book, first off, and letting me know about my spirit guide, Sylvia. And anyone else who wants to find out more about their spirit guide or talk to a past loved one, make sure to contact Paul. He's a really great guy. And as you said, you can go to his website, call him, or, you know, hit him up on Messenger.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
You're absolutely welcome. And Sophie, you know, I've actually watched you grow up. I remember when you were real little hanging around with Peter James. I remember you taking pictures with him and stuff when you were little. But you've grown up into quite an intelligent woman with a, as I understand it, it's the show, your show's really a big thing. It's a hit.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I appreciate
you
through the years as well.
So that's really
thanks,
great.
Paul.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You're welcome back
title.
Anytime.
Okay.
All right, Paul. Thanks. Yeah, well, fantastic
thanks,
show today,
Paul.
Sophia.
Absolutely. Paul was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and for Paul Rogers, too, his book, the title, When Shadows Are Not Shadows at All, the Next Chapter. And pick up both titles and go sequentially, too, as well. So pgrparanormal.com, that's PGR for Paul G. Rogers. So pgrparanormal.com, personal reading 626-483-1967, Paul Rogers at pgrparanormal.com. Twitter, like you said, kind of hold on to that for until the bugs get out, at Paul G. Rogers. That's his handle there. Upcoming, we have Stephanie Ann Stevens. She confirmed during the show that she'll be on next Saturday, the 10th. Televised psychic investigator Jennifer Schaefer. She'll be on the program on the 24th. Psychic Rick Hayes. This just happened to work out like this. Psychic Rick Hayes will be it's summertime. We have ghost hunters and psychics promoting, too, and their new releases. So Psychic Rick Hayes will be on the program on July 15th. We have other people that are securing their guest spots, so you don't want to miss these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guest as we learn of them real time. Great show, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.